Now we have entered into a place of worship where it's no longer about me. It's no longer about what's happening in my body, but it's just me and the Lord, one on one in His presence, entertaining the Lord face to face. As we have passed through the veil, we have entered into worship. Let's just thank the Lord right now. Raise your hands. Lord, we praise and magnify you that we can come in and worship you. Enter into this place where we have a one-on-one audience with you, God. Hataraye lo shotorobasa harahakaye hataye amashasa he hatarakaye hasataye amasha harahakaye. If you can, you may be seated. Hasharaye. Once you enter into the veil, there is but one piece of furniture, and that one piece has two components. It's the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy Seat. And the Ark of the Covenant was something that was most precious and of great significance to the children of Israel. And it was because it had so many elements involved with it, and it held three components, the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron's rod that budded, a bowl of manna, and the second set of the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave Moses. These three pieces were so important because they were evidence of the miraculous. Aaron's rod that budded, it was a dead stick. And when it came time to make clear and declare who God had chosen to be his high priest, they had all of their separate sticks, and the Lord said, the one whose bud, the one who receives the blessing, who has the anointing, is going to have it because it's going to bear a bud. It's going to flower. The backstory to that miraculous, because not only did Aaron's rod bud, but it produced fruit. The Lord went above and beyond expectation. What's so awesome about that is that before the miraculous happened, there was a rebellion. There was a problem. There was an issue in the camp. I'm not sure I buy and believe the leaders that are set above me. And so there was a contention. And the Lord said, I'm going to use this contention and I'm going to perform the miraculous. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take the evidence and you're going to put it in the box in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. Not to remind you, children of Israel, of look how you did wrong, but look who I am. I will lead you and guide you. I will put people in your life to lead you and guide you. I will be the main source in this equation. And then he said, I want you to put a bowl of that manna. So we have evidence of leadership in the ark. And then we have evidence of bread. Now, we know manna wasn't just some random bread that they made themselves. This was heaven-sent bread. Heaven-sent bread that required me every morning to get down on my knees to collect every day enough for one day. One day at a time. What's so awesome, Brother Ellis and I were talking, I can't even remember what we were talking about, but I remember the end of the conversation because it was, how do we resolve, you know, we say, okay, there's some stale stuff happening. What's the scripture for that? And I said, Brother Ellis, we don't have to worry about trying to package stale bread because the Lord gives us fresh every day. Why is that so important? Because when we're looking at the manna was also a source of contention. The Lord said, I want you to gather enough for just one day, every day. And then on the sixth day, I want you to gather enough for 2 days because the seventh day, you need to have time with me. And still there were people who tried to get more than they needed. There were still people who got fed up with heaven-sent bread. And they started murmuring. And they started complaining. And they started having issues. But notice, the Lord didn't put an onion or a leek or a watermelon or a quail feather in the box. He said, I'm going to put in the box what I provide you. I'm putting my provision in the holy place. I'm putting my sustenance in the holy place. So that every day, when you enter into that holy place, you can receive something fresh and individual to you in the moment that you enter that place. I've gone through the Bible I don't know how many times, and every time I come to a scripture and I think, oh yes, I know this story. The Lord said, you think you do, and he shows me something else. Fresh bread every time I need it. We know the tabernacle, but this is fresh bread. Every time we need it. And then the last piece there, the two tablets of stone. Why was that significant? Because that was the second set. It wasn't the first. The first set, the same Aaron whose rod went in the box is the same Aaron who made the golden calves. The same Aaron who said, Moses, I don't know what happened. I just put the gold in and here they came. Really? Really, Aaron? You expect me to buy that? Moses was so angry, he broke what God gave him. And he had to go back up and say, tell me again, Lord. I'm going to have to write it down again. The Ten Commandments of the law. Why was that so important? Because the Lord said, I want you to remember my word is going to quicken you and tell you when you're off. My word is going to remind you, hey, there are guidelines that we follow. We're in a relationship and there are boundaries to every relationship you have. There are boundaries, not to limit and hurt for harm, boundaries to keep us safe, to receive the full blessing, the full benefit of the relationship. Every relationship has to have boundaries. Everyone. Marriages where one of the parties is not faithful, they go outside the boundary lines. It destroys what's there. You can say, well, the Lord can heal and recover. Absolutely. But there has to be rebuilding, a restructuring of the boundaries. It's a game changer. And so the Lord put these three components because he said, I want you to remember. Now, in the New Testament, Paul said, thank God we are not under the law anymore, but the law is necessary. Why? Because it showed me I am in need. I am off. I'm not doing right. I have to recognize my boundaries so I can come under grace. I have to recognize my limitations so I can be covered by mercy. That's what's so powerful about the ark is that he said, I'm going to take places of the miraculous. The first 10 commandments were written by God himself. He cut them out and gave them to Moses. And you say, why is that in the holy place? Places of great failure and of great mercy. Because he says, I can use both. and I will use both. And why is that so important in my day today? Because Revelation 12, chapter 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The blood of the Lamb has been applied. It's done. 2,000 years ago, it was taken care of. The veil was rent. I have access. But it's that second piece. The substance that was in the ark was testimonies. 1, 2, and 3. Testimonies of leadership. Testimonies of provision. Testimonies of structure and guidance. Testimonies were in the very holy place. Why? Because every day I have to remember, look what God has done for me. Look what God has done for me. Look what God has done for me. Because if I remember my testimony and I remember all that he has done, his provision and how he makes ways and how he does things that I can't even fathom and process and how he makes situations turn and iron out in ways that I wasn't anticipating. If I remember that and I remember the testimonies, suddenly it becomes a little bit easier to live my day to day. Because if he took care of me yesterday, and you know, he took care of me the day before that, and he took care of me then, and you know what? I'm facing a lion right now, but you know, I know a guy named Daniel, and he was in a lion's den. And so suddenly my testimony is able to move me from just the blood at the altar. But I'm able to say, oh God, I've burned my incense. I've burned my emotions. I've given them to you as a sweet-smelling savor. I've got my thought right, my thought process. You've shone your light on me, and there's illumination, and you've given me that bread, that fresh bread that's kept safe and secure. And you know what? Suddenly, the storm that I'm facing is so small because look what you've done for me. Look what you've done for me. Oh, you are so good. Oh, you are so kind. You've given me leaders in my life to lead and direct me and support me and help me. And you've given me bread in this moment when I thought, oh, if I hear another scripture, I'm going to lose my mind. And yet I have just the right word and just the right time that I need it most. You give me that, and you've corrected me, and you've shown me when I was wrong, and you've made things right. And now this storm that I face is nothing compared to you. That's worship. That's worship. When you get up close and personal with God and you say, look what you've done for me. I carry my testimonies with me. And what made the ark so powerful is the presence of God was with it, and nothing could stand before the ark. When you operate in your testimony and you remember it every day, nothing that you face can stand before it. The Philistines captured the ark and they put it in front of their idols and it fell to the ground. They set up the idol again and the ark remained in its presence and it fell again. They set up the idol another time, a third time, and this time when the idol came before it, it fell to the ground and shattered to pieces. And then the Philistines got, we've got something bigger than we can handle. We've got something on our hands that we can't process. We've got something that our very gods bow down to and shatter before. Get rid of it. You say, the obstacles that I face aren't crumbling, then show them your testimony. The mountain I am facing isn't moving, then show them your God. Show them your testimony, because if faith the size of a mustard seed can move it, then declare it. What can your ark do? What can your ark do? What can your ark do? Shatara, raise your hands right now. God, I thank you for the ark. You saved Moses in an ark. You saved Noah in an ark. You saved me in my ark. Stand to your feet. Let us thank the Lord for the ark of our testimonies. God, we thank you for the testimony, for your provision of leadership, for your provision of word, for your provision of guidance and structure, God. Hatarayeo kosotorobahasaye.